Have you ever gone away and someone else is going to mind your house? And what do? You generate a huge long list of all the important things, right? Or maybe you've just gone on holidays at work. And before you got on holidays at work, you've got to do a handover to make sure whoever's going to do your job or pick up your responsibilities while you're gone, that they do the things that you write down the things for them to do. Or maybe you're a parent and you write down a to-do list for your kids for when they get home from school. Because you know that for that period of time you're going to be absent. Yeah? Well, the bit of the Bible that we're going to read today was written because Peter knew that he was going to be actually coming to the end of his life. And all of the things that he'd been talking about for decades and sharing about the truth of Jesus, he wanted to make sure people still had access to after he had gone. If you like, 1 and 2 Peter, and 2 Peter in particular, is a bit like a handover document. Remember these things. Don't forget these things. And so with that setting of the scene, we're going to read the first several verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. When I'm thinking about how we unpack this passage together, I think I want to start at the end. And if I want to do anything, I want to summarize it by saying, Peter is saying, don't be dumb. Just don't be nearsighted. Don't be stupid. Don't be dumb. Because he says, I don't want you to be dumb. I don't want you to be ineffective and unproductive. And when I read ineffective and unproductive, I don't know what it brings to your mind, but it brings to my mind the idea of a work. Yeah? Of a factory. Of a place that produces stuff. You know? Where you do shift work. Or whatever. But the actual Greek word, and it could just as easily and probably more accurately be translated, I don't want you to be unfruitful. And that just gives a totally different take on it, doesn't it? So like productive is things that you do. But an orange tree, when it's fruitful, it just is being an orange tree. The orange has just come out of it. Like decades ago, I heard a well-known preacher by Colin Urquhart, and he was getting so into John 15, the passage, and he was talking about you be fruitful, not fretful, and trees don't be fretful trying to push out the oranges. The oranges just come out. And here Peter is saying, don't be dumb. I want you to be fruitful. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ineffective or idle is a better way to understand it. And your knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ is your interactive relationship with Jesus. If you're interacting with Jesus, you're not just going to be idle. And if you are really entering into the life that Jesus has for you, you are not going to be unfruitful. But why would we want to be fruitful? Why is Peter encouraging followers of Jesus to be fruitful? In other words, to be exhibit more of the characteristics of Christ wherever you are. Well, because we need more of it. We need more people that are like Jesus and less people who are not like Jesus. In war zones, in political conflicts, in places of social injustice, in broken families, in difficult workplaces and schools, life would be better. The world would be better if people were more like Jesus. Don't be dumb. But it's more than that, you see. The Christian hope is that one day everything will be made new. That all of the stuff that is broken now will be fixed. And we are confident in that because we've seen it in the life of Jesus. The ultimate breakdown of brokenness of him being killed was overcome and he was made new in the resurrection. And so we have, it's not just a pie in the sky hope, but we have a well-founded hope that God is acting in this world and will make it new again. And at the end of 2 Peter, Peter talks about that. In keeping with his promises, this is chapter 3, verse 13, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. And that new heaven and new earth is where righteousness dwells. That's good, right? It's not going to be heaven if it's full of angry, bitter, twisted, impatient people. Greedy, self-centered, manipulating people. That's not going to be heaven, is it? You and I don't enjoy being around those sort of people. But the trouble is other people don't enjoy being around those sort of people either, and so we better make sure that we're not those sort of people. An eternity with anger and bitterness and manipulation is not heaven. It's something else. And it's not God's intention. The new heavens and the new earth where righteousness reigns is God's intention. And so that's where you and I are heading. They do preparation for school a bit different these days. Back in 1974, when I first went to grade one, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? That's because it is a long time ago. I got to start the school year late. Like, I had a reprieve. I didn't get to go to school for the first couple of weeks, I think it was. Now, there was a sad reason for that. That's because in 1974, there were massive floods in Queensland. And lots of people had to be evacuated from their homes and they were living in school buildings. But it's like, we didn't think about school or anything like that. And when school started, okay, I'll turn up and have school, right? But now, kids that have been in 4-year-old kinder or whatever, they're getting ready for prep. And in November and December, what's happening? They're buying school uniforms. I see pictures on Facebook of preppies dressed, who are going to be preppies, dressed in school uniforms the 2 months before Christmas, right? They're eager. This is what I'm going to be like next year, mummy and daddy. And they get out their school bag. And it's like eagerness to be in. We want to be there. And we're going to dress in advance and earlier for that. And that's what Peter is saying. We're going to be in a place where, in the new heavens and new earth, where righteousness reigns. So let's get dressed for that now. A, because it's a much better way to live, but B, it's a signpost to the reality that God has for everybody in the future that would want it. And when you think clearly about it, there's no downside to being more like Jesus, really. So Peter says, don't be dumb. But then we think to ourselves, well, I don't know, I've been doing terribly well on that front recently. I don't think I have been growing in fruitfulness and usefulness. I haven't been, the reality of life with Jesus hasn't been leaking out of me as much as it should. Maybe it's because you've been just distracted by life. Or maybe it's because you've been drained by the busyness of life and the load of life. Or maybe it's because you've been damaged by what you've experienced in your life. And Peter speaks into your reality and my reality from verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. When we recognize that maybe we have been a little bit dumb, and we recognize that maybe we've been distracted or drained or damaged, we need to remember what God has done. And God has, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. Everything's a pretty all-inclusive term, isn't it? Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And that really means our knowledge of Jesus. And how do we get our knowledge of Jesus? Well, it's because we hear about Jesus, and later on in chapter 1, Peter says, I was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before me and James and John. And stories that he and others told about the life of Jesus helped people that hadn't met him physically know Jesus. And at a similar time to this letter was being written, people were starting to write Gospels like the Gospel of Mark and Matthew and Luke and assemble them together so that people that came generations later who didn't have the opportunity to speak to eyewitnesses had the account of eyewitnesses to refer to, so we would know Jesus. His own glory and goodness, becoming a human like you and me, growing up and living a life, dying and rising again. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. Well, what promises might they be? Well, I think they're the promises that Jesus made. Promises like in the end of Matthew where He says, I will be with you till the end of the age. Or a promise in John where He says, I will ask the Father and He will send the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. Or like in another place where He says, wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Or the promise, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things, food and drink and everything else will be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness is the full thing. Or anyone who looks to the Son of Man and believes in Him will receive eternal life. Anyone who's thirsty comes to me and I will give you living water. There's promise after promise after promise that Jesus has made. And that Peter here is referring to all of those things. There is a person who I will not name for financial and contractual reasons, who may have been at our house the other day. And all he needed for life was this box. Like Lego block Duplo bits. There's a bit for a house. Like, need to get in early. Like, there's a boat. There's a car. There's even a Toy Story character. Is it? It's not. It looks like a Toy Story character. Maybe it's a rip-off of a Toy Story character. Everything he needs for life, well, at least for amusing him for 20 minutes, is in this box. But that's what Peter is saying. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Nothing's left out. It's all given. So don't be dumb. Remember what God's done. But then do something with it. This person who cannot be named for contractual and financial reasons then does stuff with the box that he's been given. And we get the opportunity to do stuff with the box that God's given us. And this passage, if you like, is the companion to the passage we looked at last week, where Jesus was diagnosing the problem. And he said, what the problem is you become unclean and you're sinful because of the stuff that's in you that comes out of you. And the inference was that you need to get rid of those things in your life to become clean. And he's going to do that to become clean. And this is like the mirror image, if you like, or the other half of it, the positive side of it. You clear stuff out so you can put new stuff in. When you buy a new home or you move to a new home, you clear rubbish out so you can put new stuff in. You knock things down so you can renovate and reshape the house to the way you want it. And the amazing thing is that God doesn't just sort of zap us and take all agency away from us. He says, no, I want you to cooperate with me in the renovation of your life. I'm working on it. I've given you everything you need, but I'm not taking away your, that you get a chance to do something and be part of it. And so Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort. And for those of you playing Dallas Willard Bingo, grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. None of what we do earns us any favor with God. God has already given us the box. He's already given us everything. He says, play with it, use it. We don't earn anything by making the effort of using it. Make every effort to add to your faith. And let's just pause for a minute and back up to the verses at the beginning where Peter says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith. So even the faith is a gift, is something that you receive. And the thing that all through this letter is that Peter talks about consistently is about knowing, about knowledge. And in our culture today, there is this, people try and split faith away from knowledge or faith away from reason. But faith or confidence is intimately connected with knowledge. You know, you read about the resume of someone, you know about them, and that gives you confidence to employ them. Or you get referred to a doctor and you hear about their reputation, and so you have confidence to let them treat you. Knowledge is not disconnected from faith at all. In fact, it's entirely connected to it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear about Jesus and you say, he's amazing, and your confidence in him grows. And so there is a gift that comes to you when you know about Jesus and know Jesus. You have confidence in him. And that's something that God has given you. Make every effort to your faith goodness. Well, you're there with Jesus, and Jesus is ultimate in goodness. Jesus is right there with you. The Spirit is right within you. The Spirit that produces love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness and goodness is right there. So, Jesus, I want some of that. I want to take that, whatever aspect of goodness is maybe lacking in my life, I want to build that into my life. The next time I have a chance to practice patience, God, I want your Spirit to be there so it flows out of me a bit more than it did before. The next time I have a chance to be joyful, I want to remember the incredible joy that you are full of, God, and I know you're with me. And so I want to express that. The next time I get a chance to express some other aspect of your goodness, I'm going to try and build that into my life. And to your goodness, knowledge, not just of God, but maybe of myself. How I react. What are my drivers? Where is the pain points? What are the red buttons? Where's the fear, shame, and guilt at operating in my life? Where's the desire for approval, satisfying my appetites or ambitions going on? Knowledge. And then when we have a deeper knowledge of God and ourselves, add to that knowledge self-control. I'm not just a bag of desires. I actually have agency. And I can say no to that chocolate cake for another 5 minutes. I can say no to firing off that fiery email for 20 minutes. I can say yes to giving something to someone in need. And I can find myself being more self-controlled because I'm in the presence of one who is self-controlled, who is the epitome of it, Jesus. God has given me everything I need for life and godliness, including access to his self-control. And a self-control perseverance. I'm not just going to have a go at being patient or whatever else it is, or self-controlled once, but I'm going to have a go at doing it again and again until it becomes built substantially into the character of my life. And my orientation of my life to God, the godliness, I'm going to add that to it too. And then affection. And the pinnacle of it all is I will be a person who is an embodiment more and more of love. Not just the desiring sort of love, but the agape love, the sort of love that chooses to love even when it costs. That chooses to love even when it isn't reciprocated. That chooses to love even when it's hard and also when it's easy. Because when we know that we are permeated by love, we are being made into more fully into the image of God who is love. God has given us it all already. So Peter says, don't be dumb. Peter says, remember what God has done. Now do something with what God has given you. Confident that God will be at work, making you more like him, making you more fruitful, making you more radiant. So I just want to pause for a moment and think. Out of all that God has already given me, what's the piece that I want to pick up today? Is it goodness? Is it knowledge? Is it self-control? Is it perseverance? Is it brotherly kindness? Is it godliness? Is it love? What is it? Well, some aspect of what God has given you, what's in your box, does God want you to pick up and do something with? To build something into your life? Just pause for a minute. Identify it. And then turn it into a prayer. God, help me today to be more aware of how I react so I can then be more deliberate in how I react. Give me greater self-knowledge. Don't know what it will be for you. Just pause for a moment. in your journey towards a life that is like Jesus, that is always fruitful? What's the thing that God's wanting you to add, to take out of the box for you today? Let's pause and pray. God, this world is broken, and we yearn for the day when you make all things new. But we thank you, God, that you have already started making us new. And you invite us to take stuff out of the box and cooperate with you. Lord, for each individual thing that each person here has identified that they want to build a bit more into their life today, God, I pray that they would experience your grace and your power at work. It'll be another brick in the wall, another feature of their life that is part of the joy of the journey to becoming more like you, Jesus. Please bring this to pass in each one of us. Amen.